wasn't good. See, so many angels sing a song here, right? Each one behind has a wonderful parent and a wonderful mother. And they grew up like this. It's not easy. It's not easy. I can see it. Although I never had that kind of experience, but I can see it. Some of you spent endless of time and for them. And they grew up, and they become an adult, and become a very faithful God servant. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Grandmother's Day. And such a wonderful moment. I think God never made a mistake. And God arranged Elder Ken in Chinese congregation to preach this morning. And arranged me to come here. And first of all, I kind of a puzzle. I got a lot of false teeth inside, so my tongue doesn't really work that nice. So sometimes my English becomes all of a sudden, air leak or whatever. But anyway, I think God never made a mistake, never. And I'd like to share with you. And the title is called The Godly Family. Godly Family. And if you have a Bible, could you turn to the Bible to the Genesis chapter 2. The reason I have that kind of things in my mind, try to share the topic of godly family, is several reasons. One is, in the time of celebration of the Mother's Day, I would like to take this opportunity to remind us that the original Bible teaching regarding to the role of mothers has gradually diminished and neglected. The consequences are the instability in the society and family. Number two, the definition of the family has been on purposely destroyed. Both the father and the mother's role are confusion. Minnesota House passed the same-sex marriage bill on last Thursday, which means the state is one step closer to become 12th state that redefines the marriage institution. The state senate will vote next Monday on this bill. Number three, many mothers in the church are only interested in children's academic achievement, but not very concerned about their spiritual concern. I'm not saying academic achievement is not important. It's not. No, it is important. I know how important it is because I also have a teenage son in high school. In the school systems, from junior high to college, instill students to redefine the institution of marriage. Our children are in the battle zone. If we don't emphasize their spiritual lives, we sure will lose this battle. Because the majority of the young people in this country are favor same-sex marriage. In this paragraph, I have seven observations and three applications like to share with you. The first Okay, thanks. Okay, the first observation I'd like to share you is in the verse 18. In verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." My first observation is, a man or a woman alone is not necessarily not good. It's not necessarily not good. At the time, Adam was the only person in the entire world. If there was only Adam alone, he could not accomplish God's command to be fruitful and increase in numbers. Like in Genesis chapter 1, 28 said, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Then fill the earth and subdue it." Not good. Not good. Does that mean that God wants to make up for the deficiencies of his creation? God created a woman, was a part of the creation in 6 days. Not good can also be translated as no benefit. It is no benefit for Adam alone. God created a woman for Adam implies the revolution of the church in the future. It is a metaphor of the relationship between Christ and the church, with the analogy of the relationship of husband and a wife. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22 to 24 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything." The implication of a woman, the wife, is very, very important. Therefore, we cannot refer this literal interpretation of the sentence applied to unmarried people. Paul also has his opinion on celibacy. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, from verse 25 to 32, I read to you selectively. In verse 25, this is what Paul says, "Now about virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give judgment as one who by Lord's mercy is trustworthy." Verse 26, "Because the present crisis, I think it is good for a man to remain as you are." Verse 32, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man," that including woman, "an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affair, how he can please the Lord." Verse 33. "But a married man is concerned about the affairs of his world, of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided." Verse 35, "I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord." Jesus had never specifically addressed the propriety of marriage per se, but Paul gave his judgment on the issue when they could take as a trustworthy counsel. Paul, of course, was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and hence this judgment was as authoritative as Christ's words. The second observation. The second observation is also come from verse 18. I will make a helper suitable for him. Helper is not a subordinate. Helper is not a subordinate. Literally translated as a helper corresponding to him, which means basically what was said about Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 was also true for him. This is what Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. They both had the same nature, the image of God, but what man lacked, she supplies, and what she lacked, he supplies. Helper is not the meaning term. It is often used in Scripture to describe God Almighty. I give a few examples. First one. The Psalm 33:20 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalm 70, verse 5, "Yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." Again, in Psalm 115, verse 9, "O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." The last one I like to share is in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. A lot of people maybe can memorize this. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Help is used in Scripture to describe God Almighty. The spiritual harmony damaged after the fall of man. Man becomes male chauvinism, and women become female chauvinism. The remarkable change has been the increase of divorce rate. This phenomenon happens not only outside the church, but also, I have to say, inside the church. Why? Because we have misinterpreted the word help. The word help. The third observation I'd like to share you is in the verse 22nd. Verse 22nd. The Lord God made a woman from the man's rib. The Lord God made a woman from the man's rib. You know what? I liked the NASB translation. This is what NASB translated. The Lord God fashioned into a woman from the man's rib. No wonder. People said a woman like a flower. God fashioned a woman. Man and woman are one. One becomes two. Two becomes one flesh. Man and woman are homologs. Men are formed by God, and God fashioned into a woman from the man. The husband and wife is inseparable, cannot be separated. God is an orderly God. In 1 Corinthians, "For man did not come from woman, but the woman come from man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 said, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve. The order should be manifested in the society, the church, and the family. The decision of this order is not dependent on the ability of making money and the personal capacity. The decision of the order came from God." Came from God. Christian mother, a godly family should follow God's order. A godly family should follow God's order. Christian mother should help her husband with the same spirit, working as one flesh, lead the children to know God as their first priority. If your children are not rooted in the Word of God, this world will surely engulfed them, regardless how much worldly knowledge do they have. The fourth observation: wife is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. There are five aspects I would like to share with you. The first one, it eschews the intimacy and inseparableness. This is a relationship between husband and wife. When one is hurt, the other half of the feeling is the same. They are connected to each other, cannot be separated. Number two, the marriage relationship, inseparableness and intimacy cannot take for granted. It needs of nursing. The intimate relationship between the father and the mother greatly affect their children. There was a psychological study, science study. A rat was put inside a cage. An experimenter keep beating the cage. They found out the lifespan of the rat in the cage was significantly shorter than average. Whether it is at home, cold war, or hot war between father and mother will affect children's emotion. Under this environment, the child are like a frightened bird in the cage. The third aspect, the intimacy and inseparableness of the father and the mother also affect child's character. I give a story. One of my best friends told me it happened to him. When he graduated from college, he was looking for a job. One day, he walked into a middle school and asked whether there's a job, a teacher available. And the principal sent him a piece of paper and a pen, asked him to write his autobiography. He wrote it. He said and wrote. And in fact, there were two persons. And after wrote it, and he gave back this autobiography to the principal. After the principal read all of them and selected my best friend. And he didn't know why. Why? Why you select me? That's my friend Ed said. And later on, the principal said, because from your autobiography and filled with family love, your family has love. That's the person I'm looking for to suit in this school. The fourth aspect, a godly family is full of love because husband and wife love each other. The husband does not suppress his wife. The wife does not pull his legs of his husband. And the wife has no contention to be the householder. The fifth observation. In verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and a mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Leave from parents does not mean we don't need to take care of them. Leave from parents does not mean we don't have any responsibility to take care of their parents. For this reason, God made a woman for the man. They can then procreate it. For this reason, a child shall leave from parents after growing up. A man or a woman leaves his father and a mother means he or she constantly learns to be independent. Dr. James Dobson said on his radio show one time, listen. A 5-year-old kid does not know how to tie his shoes. It's not his fault. It's his parents' fault. A middle school kid does not know how to balance his checkbook. It's not his fault. It's his parents' fault. We parents do everything for them. At home, mother cares the child is more carefully than father, generally speaking. Mother needs to have God's wisdom to learn letting her child go. The mother needs to have the wisdom of God so that her children can be more independent. Parenting, their primary task, is not their academic achievement, rather leading them to know God. Children are a gift of the Lord. Your task is not to hand them over to the society, but return them to God. To learn how to take care of your parents starting from a young age. How? Number one, obey your parents. This is what the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents. The other side of the coin is that the parent should teach the children the word of God diligently. Number two, honor your parent. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may live long on the earth. Number of years ago, this verse was quite puzzled me. I say, a kid, honor parents, will live long on the earth. Literally, this is what literally the Bible says. Until one day, I read it, a small booklet written by James Hudson Taylor III, the one who came here give a mission conference, a talk. That's the James Hudson Taylor IV, his father. His father wrote a book. I suddenly realized this name of the book says God's Grace to 9 Generations, from the James Hudson Taylor I to the 5th. There are total 9 generations. Of course, in the middle, some of them, the first name was not called the James, but nevertheless, total 9 generations. All this Why I found out was because it's this nine generations. They're all very godly person. It's godly family. Those people, they're from generation to generation. They love each other. They respect each other. Nine generations. That's the long life. Nine generations. A story about the mother I'd like to tell you. One day, there is an 80 years old mother sits with his highly educated 45 years old son in the living room. There is a dog running across the back their backyard. The mother asks her son, say, "What is that?" Her eyes are not very good, and the son answers, "That's a dog. That's a dog." After a couple minutes, the mother asks again, say, "What is that?" The son answers, "That is dog." After a while, the mother asks again, "What is that?" The son answered, was very impatient, "That is dog." And did not take too long. The mother asked his son again, "What is that?" The son yelled to his mother, "How many times I have to tell you, that is a dog." The mother walked slowly back to her room and brought an old diary which recorded her son's childhood things. She flipped one page and asked her son to read. This is what the content is. "Today, my son, sitting on the floor of the living room, facing a puppet outside the window, asked me, 'What is that?' Patiently answered 24 times. And every answer, I hugged him. I was not only do not feel tired, I feel infinite happiness." The son feels shame and burst into tears. "I was a lucky man. After my father passed away 24 years ago, my father stayed with us. He was a very happy person. She was the only Christian in our family. I have five younger sisters. In her 50 years marriage life, she brought my wife, myself, my five sisters, and also finally my father into Christ's home. When she getting much older, she had a difficulty to walk. That was before I retired. I retired in 2006. She couldn't walk, and she had difficulty to eat. So every day, I took my sick leave. I could do that in my company. And a couple hours, came home in the lunch. In fact, in the morning, I made breakfast. And every morning, I always hugged her. "Mom, morning." And sometimes I could kiss her. Sometimes I even could put my head in her shoulder. I made breakfast and left for work. During the lunch, I took a couple hours off my sick leave and came home, prepared food for us. One spoon at a time. After finish, I washed her and went to work. Went to work. I'm sure a lot of you still remember my mother, and I deeply appreciate it. I thank you, and I praise the Lord. Your love really helped her tremendously. I remember one time you came to us during the Christmas time. You sang several songs, and she even tried to conduct. I say I'm a lucky person. I still had the opportunity to hug my mother, to even kiss her. Sometimes at night, after she passed away last year, I still in the night, you know, when I open my eyes, I still remember her. I wish I could kiss her again. So today, I would like to ask you to do a couple of things. If your mother's still around near you, to the young people, can you go home, give them a hug? Just tell them, I love you. I love you. Don't forget, we don't know how long it's going to take. In past five months in our church, I attended 8 funeral services. The age from 10 years old to 97 years old, 98 years old, to some 50 years old, to 13 years old. Take the opportunity. Give them a hug. To the one your mother isn't around, I would like to suggest write a letter to them. This is the way to write. Think about something very meaningful to you and your mother. In the night, write a letter. Write a letter. Not too long. And mail to her. She will surely be proud of you. She will constantly show off that letter to her friend. If your mother is not around anymore, I will still suggest you to write a letter and put it in your Bible. And next year of this time, take out and read. You may write some more. Today is Mother's Day. One thing I would like to ask you here, not for you, for them. The husband, if you sit with your wife, now hold your wife's hand. Now hold your wife's hand. Squeeze 3 times. Squeeze 3 times. I love you. I think she'll be a lot more happy you give her dinner tonight. A God family is full of filial respect. Filial respect. The 6th observation, marriage established by God. By God, we all just read. A couple is a man and a woman. The implication is that marriage involves one man and one woman become one flesh. The same-sex marriage is absolutely wrong. It is against God's will. The role of the father and the mother are now increasingly confusion. From the biblical point of view, God treated the sins of homosexuality was extremely harsh and scary. Because of the political correctness, more and more leaders in this country agree same-sex marriage. We need to pray very hard for this country. Godly family was ordained by God, having one man and one woman. One man and one woman. Number 7. The 7th observation. The relationship between husband and wife should be sinlessness. That relationship between husband and wife should be sinlessness. In verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. The nakedness suggests there is no sin between husband and wife. Sinfulness causes shame between husband and wife. The godly family is a family show no presence of shame. Show no presence of shame. So my conclusion is, number one, a man or a woman alone is not necessarily not good. Number two, helper is not a subordinate. Number three, the Lord God made a woman from a man's rib, or fashioned into a woman from the man's rib. Number four, wife is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Leave from parents does not mean we don't need to take care of them. It's our responsibility to take care of them. Learn to respect them now. Number six, marriage established by God is God's ordained. Number seven, the relationship between husband and wife should be sinlessness. The first application. What is the significance about God creating woman? What is the significance about a God creating woman? I think number one, very significant, is generations. Make generations. Okay. Number two, being a mother. Being a mother. That's a very significant. Number three, to make up the lack of a man as a helper. And number four, the implication of the church. Of the church. You may think about more. Number two, the application. What does it imply for a woman that she is a helper suitable for him? She is a helper suitable for him. I think what a man lacked, she supplies. And what she lacked, he supplies. Rely on each other. Don't forget, rely on each other. Number three, the holistic character of children cannot be accomplished by father alone. By father alone. Number three, how is the impact of the mother to the children? Number one, build a holistic children's personality and a character. Character. The godly mothers tend to bring out the godly children. Number two. Number three, respect for women. Guys around here, mothers here, we should teach boys respect women. That's very important. In my house, if my son say something rough to my mother, to my wife, I am very angry. I correct it right away. Respect women is very important in the family, especially for the boy. Number four, having a tender and caring heart. That's what a mother does. You educate a kid, influence a kid, having a tender and a caring heart. The last one, I feel. Mothers can influence their children how to live a healthy family life when they will build their own family. Healthy family life. And when they grow up, they become more independent. You want them to have a healthy family life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you because you are God. You are God of individual. You are God of this house. Lord, we thank you. Especially for today. Lord, we thank you so much. You give us mother. And you show the mother the love from mother. Lord, we thank you. Lord, especially for today, let us remember our mother who is not around, and remember our mother who already passed away. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, give a house, give a church, we can love each other. Thank you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.